This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And you can go to our Twitter page or go to a Coney Brewing Company on Twitter, and they'll give you the updates on who's got it, because there's an expanded list of stores and where you can drink it on draft as well.
Yeah, man, and thanks for all the support and our connection with you guys. And certainly we appreciate all the pictures that you send us. It's very cool to see you guys enjoying it. With that said, today we find out that our running back, Devontae Freeman, is now done, at least potentially through the end of the season. He could potentially come back. It would be, what, game 15, but it'd be week 16, I believe. We're right. Talking about Carolina. So that would be December 23rd, guys, for a possible return for Free. Here's the deal, and you're saying, wait a minute, what happened with Free? Because I thought he might be coming back. That's not the case.
No, apparently this groin injury, and they talked to, I guess that's a – how much money does a groin specialist make? I guess he loves his work. But anyway, a guy at Philly, that's his thing, and there was some talk that, look, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. So you want to get the surgery and try to get back and contribute to this team, or wait till the end of the year and it probably now won't get good enough to play. So now the hope is he's ready to roll by, as you said, Carolina or the Bucks if he can contribute at all. Tevin Coleman's a guy that's coming up on the end of his contract. You know, it's a lot of hard decisions for the Falcons. You know, first things first, let's just beat the Giants, and yep, we'll worry about the running back situation down the road. But Ito Smith, three rushing touchdowns for a Falcon rookie 3 weeks in a row. That was some history there. We like the job that Coleman's doing, but the offensive line is just doing the bare minimum, Carl. We're not getting the yards.
That's the problem. We're keeping teams honest, but the run game hasn't really been a threat. I mean, you know, right now, if you're a defensive coordinator in the NFL, you're going, if we want to beat the Falcons, we've got to slow down Matt Ryan. It's not about slowing down our run game. Ryan has been on fire.
Let me throw this at you. If you were a Giants defensive coordinator, I hope you're renting that house, but if you were a Giants coach, I would say, man, I'm going to blitz up the yin-yang. I'm going to come at you with everything I got. I'm going to basically throw the kitchen sink at you to get Matt off the spot.
I agree, Mike, and I'll tell you this. The running backs, and I think Coach Quinn alluded to this on Sunday and even Monday in his presser live here on 92.9 The Game, our running backs, specifically Ito and Coleman, have done a better job of picking up the blitzes. Now, we got beat up in that Steeler game, but the Bucs attempted to do similar things. And you saw, if you were paying attention in that game, where Matt got that extra second or two based on the fact that the backs were picking up those blitzes. So it's about recognizing where it's coming from the O-line, and then the backs also helping out. But if he gets that, Matt will have the opportunity to pick them apart as well.
Well, the thing is, if you're wondering any kind of comparison between what the Steelers were doing, the Giants run a base 3-4 defense. Now, everybody's in the nickel for much of the game anyway, but their base is 3-4. Remember Alec Ogletree from Georgia? He's part of that as an inside linebacker. So they've got some pieces, slowly but surely. Olivier Vernon. You know, but these guys, they've just been so uneven. That's the Giants story for this season. And obviously the turnovers and Eli just being god-awful in big moments.
Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Hit us up, guys, 404-741-0929. We appreciate all the interaction on the text line. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. And remember, you can always follow us across all social media platforms. That's 92.9 The Game. Like us, check mark, on Facebook if you've not done that already. Follow us on Twitter, Mike Bell, ATL. Put them up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. And, of course, you can follow us on the gram as well. Let's get to the top three.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
Well, Mike, while we're talking about the Falcons, story one is that the Falcons and the Giants. Now, it's a Monday night game, so things have been pushed back just a little bit. Falcons will get back to work on Thursday. They get another day of rest to get some of these guys hopefully back. And I use that word hopefully because that's what Dan Quinn said. Hopeful for Grady.
Right.
Hopeful for Calvin Ridley, who looked like he was going to be okay. Again, not saying he will be. Hopeful for a guy like Sanu. But you've been asking this question today, and I think we're going to throw it around a lot this week, and that is the importance of finishing tackles. Here's Dan Quinn talking about Saquon and tackling.
I do know about Barkley's speed. Yeah, that was evident on tape, you know, for him coming out of Penn State, even when a good player had an angle on him. And almost all the defensive players, if they were playing Penn State, I had that game on because I wanted to see them against somebody who was really talented in that area.
So if you are talking about the Giants game on Monday night, yes, you'll have some challenges in trying to slow down, arguably, I think, the best young back in this league, and you're seeing that with his numbers. Didn't you tell me, what's his receiving numbers out of the backfield?
Yeah, he averages over 9 yards per reception and about 5 yards a run. He's got 821 combined yards in the line of scrimmage and 6 touchdowns. And even when he does not get it between the tackles because of the Giants' offensive line woes, he can still catch the ball out of the backfield, which gets us back to tackling. And if you were in your zone coverage, that's going to give him a nice running start against guys that have a hard time getting people on the ground.
Now, back to the news of the day, and that is Free being put on IR. This is an injury, and I've been kind of saying this today, and I think a lot of Falcon fans agree with this. As bad as it is, with Free's limited time already this season, you've seen two guys that are capable, Mike. I feel pretty good about where we're at in the running back situation with the Judge and Ito Smith, who, by the way, said to Avon McClure that his goal is to continue to hopefully spark the offense and do his part. Kid's been pretty good so far. And then what Coleman, we'll see what they do against the Giants. But unlike other injuries where I felt like maybe we downgraded, This is not the case. All right. And, for a guy like KZ, for example, he stepped right in. He's making plays at safety. I think KZ's been a bonus to us. Not a subtraction when you talk about the plays that he's made.
I'm with you there, and Foye Aluakin is coming along, but there's a talent gap there. He's got to get better. He's learning the NFL game and the speed of it. So I mean, look, you just hope that you can maintain where we're at. The good news is we got a favorable schedule right now, middle part, and then you hope you're ready that Debo can come back and Deion Jones is at 100% and he's doing what he's used to doing, which is making plays all over the field, breaking up passes, all the things you're missing right now from your linebacker position for the most part.
It is Dukes and Bell. It's our top three at six, brought to you by Dixie Vodka. Guys, it's football season, and that means tailgating. A true Southern tailgate isn't complete without Dixie Vodka. Visit DixieVodka.com. Dixie Vodka, made in America, raised in the South. All right, guys, story number two is the NBA season gets underway tonight. Got a doubleheader on tap, but the Hawks will play tomorrow against the Knicks. You heard Mike Conte earlier talk about Vince Carter. He's actually, with John Collins being out, he's going to get the start. He's going to play a lot. But Vince joined our morning show this morning and told the guys, part of this coming back at this age is being a player coach.
I enjoy and embrace the role of being the voice in the locker room when the coaches aren't around or on the floor or during timeouts or whatnot. They've given me the leeway to do so. I'm trying to help guys get better.
And that I think he will do. Vince is... He's got a unique role, and I think when it's all said and done, it could be after this season, Vince is going to be on TNT doing something when it's right. When it's all said and done. But that's one of the reasons why I think he chose Atlanta as well.
But we're out there at Media Day. I mean, he's been there, done that, seen it all. Really cool guy. Guys obviously embracing the fact that he's here around. And like you got guys like Jeremy Lin here to kind of fill out the roster. And look, I'm just excited to see what Trae Young can do. And how about this? You begin your professional career in the Mecca, Madison Square Garden. Steve Holman's 2,500th broadcast as a Hawks announcer. And a guy that, sometimes we take him for granted because he's such a good dude, and we always love the passion. And I love a guy who's fired up as we are as a fan.
Bang! 76ers and Celtics, that's the early game. A lot of people saying that's going to be the Eastern Conference Finals now, right? With no LeBron, with Cavaliers, that's potentially – and we'll see. I mean, I'm not going to count out Toronto. We'll see what happens there. And if guys quit on them, I'm not specifically saying any names. And then you've got the Thunder, and the Warriors. They get their rings tonight. And a lot of people saying that this might be the Warriors' last run, Mike, simply because they'll dismantle after this season. You got Klay Thompson who might move on. Durant has a decision to make.
Where's Durant? There's no more teams to jump on as far as the trains. Lakers. There's no more front.
He'll join the Lakers.
Yeah, he could always do that. You're right about that.
He'll join the Lakers. I'm just saying. Anyways, NBA season starts tonight.
And then he could be LeBron's little, the complimentary piece.
Would it surprise you? Would that surprise you?
Nothing in the NBA would surprise me.
Wouldn't surprise me at all.
In the era of the super team, nothing.
Wouldn't surprise me at all. Craig, don't get in your bag.
By the way,
it's not happening, bro.
Russell and Durant could have another one that go forehead to forehead, but don't throw punches. I saw that this morning, and I was like, really? They showed that highlight from Lug? Come on. How can you do that and not throw down?
Well, listen, we do know Westbrook doesn't like Durant, right?
Nope.
Still, and so that makes that game interesting.
Look at Russell Westbrook in any game, regular season or playoff, without thinking of the guy that does the impressions of all the players and doing the thing in the driveway. The herky-jerky Russell Westbrook move.
It is funny. Hey, we had a chance, story number three, to talk to Carlos Bocanegra, the technical director of Atlanta United.
Yeah, man, and one of the questions we asked him was, because of the emergence of have guys like George Bello, and don't forget you've also got Garza finally healthy. I mean, what is your starting 18, or what's that roster going to look like?
Anytime you've got competition around the field and pushing each other, it makes for a better team, better performance, and brings the best out of people. So it's really going to come down to form and who's there. I don't think age matters.
Right.
You know, are you putting a young guy out there and exposing him, or is he, you know, in that lineup protected enough where you can still utilize him? So there's plenty of ways to make the kids feel comfortable, make the guys feel comfortable with youth or experience. It's just kind of tactically how you set them up.
And by the way, you know, part of the Atlanta United 2 and developing this young talent, obviously you saw Bello score his first goal in MLS. He's having a hell of October. He's with the U.S. men's under 17 squad, taking on the Ruskies, and he gets a goal on a free kick over the wall. Beautiful
nice.
Piece of, and it's up there. I got the tweet up at Mike Bellytail as well.
So we are still playing for the Supporters Cup, guys. We've got two matches left. Chicago's up next. They have not qualified for the playoffs. I asked Carlos Bocanegra today, does that matter? Teams that have already been eliminated, do they come in with a nonchalant attitude? And he said, listen, we've been, you know, going back and forth contemplating on this. Do you want a team that needs to win or one that just doesn't care and comes out loose? We'll see. But both of these matches are important. Sunday's match, and then, of course, you finish the season, Mike, at Toronto. So, and by the way, Sunday, he mentioned 70,000 will be on hand. They've sold it out.
Yeah, man, it's going to be the full house. It's easier to then convert that to Monday Night Football for the Falcons if you don't have to bring the curtains up and all that. So everybody get on down there. Craig will be repping in our section. You've got our seats this weekend. Craig, you're allowed to speak.
Thanks, Dad.
Are you taking my favorite little nephew-in-law?
The little guy's coming along. Oh, fantastic. Bless.
Make some noise.
Not taking any woman with you?
Nah, it's me and little man.
Okay, I'm just asking.
No, actually, his kid is so cool. It's a good icebreaker to meet the chicks when you're over there in the 200 level.
I have seen Craig's child.
He's a great wingman.
I've heard. That's why I asked about the woman. All right, guys, it is Dukes and Bell. Hey, that's our top three brought to you by Dixie Vodka. Hey, we've been talking a lot about the dogs today as well, if you missed any of that conversation. And we invite you guys to follow us. You can hit us up at radio.com. You can listen to the show, stream the show. We're also on iTunes. That's a free subscription. It doesn't cost you anything because I know guys are like, yeah, I'm just getting in the car and I missed that. We've been talking a lot today about it. And, Mike, all we can say is, and you're going to hear Seth Emerson coming up here in just a little bit, but do they get things correct? Is this the loss that turns things around for the dogs in a sense that, all right, you're going to see attention to detail like you haven't seen all season long?
Or the young defense steps up, or the reality is that, you know, everyone just kind of in the preseason said, well, you know what, yeah, sure, you lose Roquan Smith, and you lose, like, you lost a ton of guys in the NFL. And everyone just assumed the next man up because of the five-star recruiting and all the hype that these guys will just plug right in. And they're good, but they're not at the level those guys were yet. I'm not saying they won't be at that level, Carl, in 2 or 3 years, but right now they are guys that can get pushed around at times. And you saw Mizzou, Vandy, LSU. You'll hear more about it from Seth Emerson coming up. But no, it doesn't mean that the season's all for naught. You just got to be able to win out now. But the Florida game is not a cakewalk the way you thought it was. They're 6-1 and ranked.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see this Florida game. And we've got a week before. I mean, both teams are off. Obviously, Georgia Tech is off this week as well. But
how could you tell?
That's a good point. A guy asked me, by the way, he said, what do you think Georgia Tech should do when it comes to Paul Johnson? I said, what do you mean? And the guy was like, well, don't you think they should replace him? Listen, I don't know what they're going to do. What I do know is they're not winning enough right now. That's what I know.
It would be nice to talk about him, but there's really good things happening there, and they were in the top 25, and that's just not in the offing right now, anytime soon either.
Let's give you a chance to win some money right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
trick or treat. Smell my f- treat. Treat is the word. Hey, treat.
Treat yourself to some fine Hey Man Al. Treat. T-R-E-A-T. Treat. You text that word to 72881. Treat. And then hopefully someone's going to call you. Answer the phone. That's the final chance today to win $1,000 in our national signing bonus contest. Treat to 72881.
All right. Seth Emerson writes for The Athletic. He covers the team. He has done that. The dog since 2010. What did he have to tell us about Kirby Smart, the quarterback situation, and the dogs? You'll hear it next. Seth Emerson joins us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline from The Athletic, and we invite you to follow Seth as well on Twitter. All right, Seth, I read your piece about the dogs, and I guess the first question for me is, did you feel like once Fields entered the game in the LSU match that there was a plan for him? Because obviously he got limited snaps, and they were all running plays.
Yeah, now, they were RPOs. I don't know whether, well, let me take that back. They were options. Mm-hmm. it did not look like they were much of an option to pass. What I saw was Fields handing it off, and then he could have carried the ball on three of them, let's say. But it was only five plays. But it wasn't a strong RPO, as in how much of a pass option was there. Yeah, I mean, I think that's what everyone wants to know is why isn't Fields being given a chance to pass?
Right.
Why are they kind of putting him in just this a wildcat RPO kind of thing? I mean, wildcat's a little bit of a misnomer. It's more of an RPO kind of thing, and Jake Fromm runs those too. But like I said, the RPO plays for Fields seem to be more run options, whereas Fromm gets a run pass option, and I'm curious to see when they change that.
And that's the thing. I thought, especially maybe they were sandbagging with Justin Fields, and the LSU game would be the one where we'd actually see him for an entire series, you know, from 25-yard line, hopefully to the goal line. Does Kirby really not have a plan for these guys?
I guess there's a plan, but they also put them in the game at points where you can't really be kind of married to a plan. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, he's not going in on the third drive. He's going in. He had his one play, what was it, sometime in the second quarter. I mean, you don't know. You can't map that out. You don't know what the score is going to be at that time. You don't know what the situation is going to be when they get the ball. I mean, maybe there's a plan. They say, all right, when it's in this situation, when we get the ball at this point of the field, we're going to put him in. I will say they scored their first touchdown when Fields was in the game late third quarter, and Fields ran the ball. Or ran the option there pretty well. Holyfield got, I think it was 13 yards, and then got another 10 for a touchdown. And on both plays, Fields ran it well. And like I said, those were both those run-pass options that look more like run options.
Right.
And you heard Gary Danielson say on the air that this is why I think they would have used Fields more, is because he provides more of a headache for the defense when he's in there. On the other hand, are you kind of just running a, you know, like a wishbone at that point? You know, you have to have the passing option for Fields. And at some point, and it may already be happening, opposing defenses are going to be sitting there saying, well, when number one's in the ball game, they're not going to be passing it. But with the bye week, I also think Todd Grantham and company in Florida are going to be wondering what they're putting in for Fields, whether they could be putting in more passing plays. So that's one of the reasons that I would probably suspect we're not going to hear anything firm from Kirby Smart about the plan at quarterback.
Seth Emerson joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline, guys, as we talk dogs with you here on Dukes and Bell. I mean, we can talk about the quarterback situation a lot, and a lot of people were focusing on that. But the dogs got beat up front on both sides of the ball, Seth. Were you surprised by that?
Yes. The offensive side of it, a little bit surprising. Now, they weren't completely dominated.
Right.
LSU schemed up well, but they were able to move the ball enough. It kind of more got back to, did they just not feed number 13 and number 7 enough, Holyfield and Swift? Did they get away from that? On the other side of the ball, my only question about whether Georgia, what would happen with their run defense, was whether LSU's offensive line was good enough to exploit it.
Right.
I've been kind of banging the drum about Georgia's run defense for a while. Not that it was bad, but that it was the concern. There's no Roquan Smith on the second level cleaning up errors. There's no John Atkins, an underrated nose guard for them last year. It's not even Trent Thompson, who was good in run defense. And they didn't have that depth. Jay Hayes, the transfer from Notre Dame, hasn't had the impact that some people thought he would. And then going into this game, they were missing David Marshall, who was probably their third best defensive lineman this year, especially against the run. So add all that up, and I'm not surprised that LSU was able to exploit it. LSU also did something that previous Georgia opponents had not done, which is to keep attacking the run defense, to keep attacking the middle,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of wore Georgia down. They did to Georgia's defense what Georgia's offense had done to defenses the first six games of the year, and completely flipped the script on Georgia.
Seth Emerson with us, guys. You got to read him in The Athletic because he's talked about it. Kirby said, look, we saw Vandy run it against us. We saw Missouri run it against us. So it wasn't like it was a total surprise. I thought, and we talked about it last week, Seth, that Georgia, you're going to give up plays to LSU, but swinging it back to what you just mentioned, the run, you abandon the run. You want Mickey Mouse with the fake field goal. It just seemed like the coaching staff let the game and the tempo get away from them.
Yeah, I mean, the fake field goal, I looked at it a little more. I'm kind of rehashing everything I wrote in my second glance, but, you know, hey, that's fun. but I looked at it more, and I see where they thought that it was there, that LSU kind of bunched everyone up. But there was a great individual play made by Grant Delpit of LSU to recognize it right away and pull out, and then either somebody didn't block him or the plan apparently missed, hey, protect the guy that's the second guy on LSU's line. They were kind of focused on the guy next to him that was Greedy Williams. Grant Delpit got out and made a great play. But he got out and made a great play. He didn't get the stop. He just kind of slowed Blankenship down, and then they swarmed him
right.
for a two-yard loss, which gets back to why do you call that on 4th and 9? That's a lot of yardage to make up for a kicker against a defense that you know is putting first teamers out there on field goal blocks.
Seth Emerson joining us. Listen, I love Rodrigo Blankenship.
Right. But not there.
But come on, man. I mean, I'm like, run, Rodrigo, run. I'm
was
saying,
it Chariots of Fire theme played in your back of your
really,
mind?
Really, I mean, yep. Seth, I'm screaming at the TV, run, Rodrigo, because I knew he wasn't going to make it. Was that a panic moment? What did you make of that call?
No, it's not panic. It was kind of the opposite of it. It was more kind of wedded to the plan. They thought they saw something on film, and they were going to run it, and they ran it on their first field goal attempt. I don't know if they just didn't think it through and say there's got to be a certain down and or a certain distance
right.
for us to go for this to work. Because again, they're asking their field goal kicker, and God love Rodrigo, we all do, but they recruited him to use his feet to kick, not to run. I'm not sure what his 40 time was on the GPS numbers, but it was asking a lot for him to go 9 yards. Now, when I covered South Carolina, I believe it was 2007, I was at South Carolina's game at LSU when LSU ran that exact same field goal kick
right.
fake, and it worked. The holder flipped it to the kicker, and he ran, I think, for a touchdown or a very long run, and it really kind of sealed that game. But it wasn't in the cards this time. It wasn't a panic move because of the situation. It was something maybe you want to bring out a little bit later. But, you know, I the other thing is I think a lot of times the other team is more ready for those fakes the first time you're in that situation. Are you more ready for it when it's the first field goal attempt? Would have been better to save it for the second or third. I mean, it's easy to second guess now because it didn't work. But it didn't work. So here we are.
Hey, man, it's Seth Emerson with us on the WadeFord.com hotline. By the way, guys, an athletic subscription makes a great stocking stuffer for the holidays for the dog fan on your list, right? And you can read Schultzy and everybody else, including Dave O'Brien. The big picture here. All right, you screwed that one up. Now it's Florida, a much better Florida team. Is Dan Mullen going to try to replicate what they were doing? And do they have the horses on O-line to run the ball against Georgia?
Yeah, I want to look closer at Florida to know that. I know that Florida has the pass rushers to make it interesting against Georgia. And Andrew Thomas had a good year for Georgia at left tackle, but Isaiah Wilson's been a little susceptible on the right side. Florida just mainly comes in with a lot of confidence with the way they're playing. But for Georgia, it's going to be the chances of them being upset this time, I think, are lessened by the fact that they lost to LSU. Look, there are a lot of younger players on this team. They're not as young as people make them out to be. They've got a lot of returning some returning starters, about half the lineup. And they've got some juniors and seniors in that lineup, and they're only starting a couple true freshmen. But they've still got enough young people that when you're coming off what they did last year, you go 6-0 and you trounce everybody. You and then LSU loses to Florida the week before you play them, it creeps into your mind. And I'm not saying that they took LSU easy. I can't climb in the minds of these players in that clubhouse. But I do think that moving forward, and Georgia's going to get back out to the practice field today, it's a cliche, but it's true. The players are going to have the attention of the coaches a lot more than they did this time last week. A loss like that, any loss, but especially a loss like that, kind of snaps everybody back into reality. And I don't know that a different approach would have made a difference at LSU, but I think that they're now going to get, or Georgia is going to give Florida their absolute best shot.
Seth, did you believe, Coach, after the game when Kirby said, you know, we've not gotten the best out of this group? Did you believe him when he said that?
Yeah, because I had said that. I think people had been deceived by the final scores. Mm-hmm. I wrote in some of my columns, my second glances, I think I wrote that they slogged, that might have been the word that I used in the headline, through the Tennessee game, and people were kind of jumping on me. It's like, oh, they still won by whatever it was. What is it, 38-12, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they still won by 26 points. How can you say that? And I say, well, because it was a 12-point game in the fourth quarter, and then Georgia added on two touchdowns to kind of put it away.
Right.
And maybe Tennessee's better than we thought, as evidenced by what they did to Auburn. But if Georgia's the number two team in the country, aren't they blowing out Tennessee start to finish? And there were, you know, the Vanderbilt game was it 14-7, 10-7, something like that, late in the first half, and then Georgia got that drive to get a late touchdown entering halftime, and then pulled away. Some of these scores were a little bit deceiving in terms of if you looked a little closer and if you followed the team. The way I put it is the eye test told me something was just missing.
Okay.
They weren't doing what they did last year. And I didn't know if it was because, and I'm the beat writer, I'm a critic, it's my job to kind of look for the warts and to be the contrarian and to say, yes, but. And so even I was starting to question myself and saying, am I being a little bit too critical here? Am I looking for too many blemishes and whatever? And then the LSU game happens, you say no. And I think that's what Kirby was saying in the post game. And I think that's kind of encouraging if you're a Georgia fan, is your coach is not sitting there satisfied with the victories they were putting up the first six games. That
right.
Even he was sitting there saying, yeah, we needed to do better. We were putting up a lot of points, winning comfortably, but something was still missing, and it showed at LSU.
All right, big guy, we've got about 30 seconds left. Seth Emerson from The Athletic. Read his blogs daily on the Georgia Bulldogs. So in a nutshell, every Georgia fan just expects us to kind of be the new Alabama, and the young guys replacing all the dudes who went to the NFL are good, but they're still not up to the task just yet. Is that the end game?
Yeah, I mean, there's still time left in this season, and I would still, if I had to bet on them being 11-1 heading into Atlanta to play Alabama, and then we'll, you know, if we have the result that people think that they're going to have, then people are going to say they're still a little short of Alabama, and I would say I don't think 2018 was supposed to be the year. I think if you look at the personnel and the recruiting, starting in 2019 is when they should be loaded every year with potentially no weaknesses anywhere.
Seth, it's always good to talk with you, man. Great stuff, guys. Read him in The Athletic, and if you don't have a subscription, get one. Seth Emerson, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
He was looking to wait to see what the college football playoff rankings look like, but this one hurts because, you know, the strength of schedule for the Dogs, it ain't great. It just ain't. Hey, man, we got a game winner for you. Earlier today, we were talking to Mike Conte, in case you missed it. We learned that Jamal Anderson, no, the other one, the defensive end, has a house in Loganville.
Yeah.
And, nice house, by the way.
What up, Loganville?
So he saved his money, as well he should. Where's the action, though? What does one do in Loganville?
That's a good question.
So where's the action in your town? Wherever you live, what's the spot? Like I live in Midtown. If somebody's going to say, hey, man, it's Monday, or what's Tuesday night? Where's the action? I'd say the bar at Echo tonight. There's always something going on there.
All right, that's cool. Up where we are, they have Night Out. It's called Night Out in Roswell. I think it's the last ones on Thursday night. I'm saying this, people are like, oh, it is? But basically, you can walk the streets now, Mike, up there and hang out and drink and have a good time, adult time. There are places all over the place. Where is your spot?
Where's the action? Craig likes to go out of his apartment, and he likes to lay down on the little chalk outlines of people's bodies and make sidewalk angels. 404-741-0929. Where's the action in your town?
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question...
Hey, whether it's a big town or a small town, wherever you are hanging your hat, where's the action?
What do you do in Noonan, by the way?
What don't you do in Noonan?
Okay.
They get it in.
They get it in down there?
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, buddy. Hey, man, you're on the radio. Where's the action in your neighborhood?
Man, it's a spot out there in Villarica. I don't know if I can say this. They call it the Pumpers Paradise. It's like a party, monthly party for swingers. Man, it's some stuff in
okay,
there.
Okay, time out. Hold on, time out. Slow down. Wait. Time out. First of all, hey, man. Secondly.
Hey, man.
Secondly, did you just say swingers?
Yeah, they call it like a couple. They have a huge mansion out there in the Bill Rick in the middle of nowhere, and they call their place the Pumper's Paradise.
Would you stop saying that? I don't buy. Are you serious right now?
Right now, this guy's going, where's that in Villarica, man? I want to see what that's all about, man.
I appreciate the call.
You know that ad for Sling TV? They tune out like, we love to sling.
We love to sling. I don't know if that's real or not. I have no idea. But he lives down there, so maybe he knows.
Not that kind of action, just a good bar.
You said action.
Well, I guess that means anything. You're on the radio, buddy. Where's the action in your neighborhood?
Hey, man. Hey, Loganville, Georgia, down at good old Brucey's.
Brucey's. All right. Look it up, by the way, Squid. Let's see if this is real, man.
We'll make this
part of our Dukes and Bell pub crawl.
Next time I'm in Loganville.
I always love the old Rodney Dangerfield joke. It goes, house. I was asking some guys in there, but where's the action? They said your house.
That's right.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for it? Neighborhood fun. Where do you go?
Hey, man.
Listen. Johns Creek, there was a bar called Jeffrey's for years that was good. I've gone to Wild Wings all across this town since the early 1990s. But they turned this place at the corner of Abbott's Bridge and Jones Bridge into a Wild Wing. And it is one of the best Wild Wings in town.
There you go. Can't go wrong with the wings of Wild Wing. There you go. Dip up Johns Creek.
What else is going on at Wild Wings?
Well, I mean, apparently shenanigans. By the way, make sure you do not drink and drive at Johns Creek, because that is the DUI capital of North Fulton County. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy boy. Where's the action in your neighborhood?
What's happening, Chief?
Hey, Chief.
look here, Chief. You know, I'm over here on the south side, you know, Cottage Park. You know, we got a little discount mall over here. You know, we have a little trouble sometimes with the feds, but if you come now, we got discounts on big screen television. They got a sheetrock on the back, but we got discounts. You know, we got the old bootleg, you know, do the right thing, CDs, everything you need.
Nothing like bootleg.
By the way, Brucey's does get a great review, by the way.
I see that.
Earlier. That's Loganville.
Yes, it is.
That guy said, no, we're not talking about stolen goods, sir. We're talking about like a good neighborhood bar.
You said
action.
Goods. Where's the action?
Don't need a TV attached to sheetrock with
he's
a coax.
He's like, I got two in the truck right here.
Hey, man, you're on the radio. Where's the action in your neighborhood? In other words, a good bar, a spot. If someone was going to come to your town, where
come
are you
on.
Going?
404-741-0929.
Hey, man.
It's
James in Cumming, Georgia.
Okay, James.
And I don't own a boat. I'm not a racist. So
well, I'm going to stop it right there because I'm not sure where that's going to go. Whenever somebody says, I'm not a racist, you know that
Mike Bell, you've made some irrational decisions over the years. But I will tell you, my friend, that might be the best decision you've made
right there. Thank you very much. I only get to run the dump button once a show during this segment.
By the way, memo, do not start your comment out by saying, I'm not a racist, okay? I probably know what's coming after that. Or here's another quick tip. My best friend is, you don't want to go there either, okay?
But I've got lots of, hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Where's the action in your neighborhood?
Hey, man, the place called Rodeo Sports Bar down here in Mar, Georgia. Also, honorable mention, the Mexican on Old Natty or Poe Pimp's Paradise, bro.
All right, man.
Wow. He said a Poe Pimp's Paradise.
Yeah, man. A couple of spots. By the way, we've talked to our promotion staff, talked to Dutch. We're trying to work out some details so we can get down on the south side and do a broadcast.
South side?
Do the whole show. Because I know a lot of guys have a hard time, you know, during the rush hour to get up to Midtown or Kennesaw.
No
so we're
doubt.
Trying to get some locations on the south side.
And here's the deal. Mike's right. We're trying to do a pub crawl and get Hey Man involved and come out and meet you guys because we want to connect.
Hey Man, you're on the radio, bro. Where's the action in your neighborhood?
Summit Tavern, Snell, Vegas.
Snell, Vegas, baby. Snellville. We were just talking about it, man.
What's that one called? Tavern?
Yep.
Okay.
Squidbilly's writing all these down. He's checking them out, by the way. He's checking out a few of them. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for the best spot in your
He did get that house, though, that house location he got.
Yeah, he's on his way to Villarica. Going to throw his car keys in the bowl and see where it goes.
What was the name of that place? It started with a P.
It's a pump party, you said. I'm sure I guess a lot of firemen go there. Hey, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
You guys said you wanted to know the place in my town where all the action is, right?
Yes. Right, right.
Out of respect for my family, I cannot give you my address.
Boom. There you go. Great job, man.
Hey, good stuff, fellas. We'll come back. We'll wrap this show up. We will hand things over to Andy Bunker. We will clear our throats, and we'll tell you what's coming up tomorrow on Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.